play. What's up? Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the sun? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2020 RBC Heritage at Harbor Town Golf Course. It's a fun one. It's going to be a good one, a loaded field like last week yet again. Find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am Matt BD Entrick, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How you doing?
I am doing well. It's a little warm, but doing well.
It's like 60 here. I feel like I played golf yesterday. I feel like I was playing in Scotland. It was like 60.
Yeah.
Which is cool for this time of year, especially, which obviously, you know, you're probably getting the 40s. Anyways, it felt weird because it was raining and it was cold.
Yeah, in June. We are in June. It's the year 2020. Where all hell breaks loose. Yep, pretty much what's happening. Yep. But we had a fun one this weekend. Golf was back, and it was back in a big, big way at Colonial Burger. Daniel Berger with the win in the playoff versus Morikawa. The leaderboard was just loaded all weekend. Like, you could just watch it, and there was, you know, 10, 15 guys within a shot or two, it seemed like, and some big names in there, some young fun names, some kind of out of nowhere guys. It was a great weekend to have golf back. And you got any thoughts on what you witnessed at the Colonial?
Yeah, I mean, so for personally, much like my internet and computer capabilities this evening, it was a train wreck from a DK perspective, but it was fun to watch golf, right? I mean, that was kind of the main thing. A lot of surprises as far as missed cuts. I was surprised, first of all, that Webb was so highly owned on DraftKings, and then he missed the cut. Spieth started out really hot, and he looked like he was just going to win by about 15, and then did his usual weekend meltdown thing. But yeah, from like the leaderboard was looking really good going into Sunday. You know, Reed was up there. Spieth and JT both had chances. Even Rory, who shot four over on Sunday, had a chance to at least, you know, sneak in there and try to win. But then we ended up with, you know, Morikawa and Berger. Very, very upset with myself. I was not on Berger. You mentioned him last week. Mm-hmm. I didn't, for whatever reason, I just didn't. I don't know. I mean, fuck, dude, I play Berger every week just about, especially when he's in the 7Ks. And then he goes and wins, and I don't have any of him. So that felt bad. But otherwise, man, it was just awesome for golf to be back. Let me ask you something. What did you – I don't know, because I know you said that you were kind of watching it maybe in the clubhouse or something, but did you pay attention or notice any difference with no fans there on the weekend?
No. Did you notice? Yes. Like, I saw – I could tell there was no fans. But for me, I don't care because – most of the shots we see them in the fairway and everything, the fans are so far like in the background that you don't even really care. I guess around the greens or maybe the grandstands, but it didn't really bug me at all. It felt like we were watching maybe an amateur event or something, so maybe that point was different. But the quality of golf was still good. The guys were doing their thing. It doesn't affect me at all. Like, I was fine with it. I could honestly not worry about it. Again, I enjoy going to live golf. I know they do add an element to things. Like Xander said it after he missed that putt on 18 and he's getting interviewed. He said, you know, he's getting over it. He's if there were fans there doing the oohs and ahs, he'd probably still be pissed at himself. Like, those little things that get your kind of blood boiling a little more, maybe had efforts, or like, maybe, you know, if you make a good golf shot, those claps get the adrenaline going. Maybe the guy's quality of play might've been a little different, but you know, I don't know about you, but I don't really play in front of a bunch of fans, and I'm still competitive as I'll get up. So I can only imagine what they're doing playing for millions of dollars.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, especially Thursday and Friday, like, I just thought it was everything was totally fine. But coming down Sunday, it was just weird not to have the big roars when somebody made a birdie, or, you know, when somebody lipped out a 3-footer or whatever. But either way, you know, I'll take it over nothing by far all day, every day. So definitely not anything to really get upset about or anything like that. But, yeah, I thought we were going to see Morikawa, you know, get his second W, and he just completely choked on that putt. I've been there, done that.
Yes, we all have. That's why we were laughing beforehand. like watching these putts rim out. I don't know how many times. We have a nickname for it at our golf course, which I won't stay on the show because it's really, really funny, but not everybody might appreciate it. So I'm just going to leave it alone. It's a good one, but it happens way too often. And it's one of the most frustrating things. You hit it. You watched his putt from the camera angle. It was dead on. Like, it was right there. Probably too much heat, what it came down to. But he didn't miss it by much. He just got jobbed. Xander's was crazy. There's a lot of them. Like, I saw Morikawa missed a par putt on, I think it was 14 or 15. Like, he had a lot of putts that I think he wants back in a big, big way down the stretch there. And I'm not going to say it was nerves because he's won before. He's made every cut he's ever played. And he's like four events away from tying Tiger's, like, best start ever for cuts made consecutively. Stuff along those lines. So I'm not worried about that. I wouldn't be shocked if he like top fives again this week or something. He's that good of a golfer, like consistency wise. So, but Berger was good. It was awesome. I saw a stat that's 28 straight rounds under par that Berger's put out there.
I saw that today too.
Which is how it's like, and you know, what's crazy. And we'll talk about it when we talk DK, but it's like, okay, how do you not play Berger right now? But
right.
And his price went up like 86 or something like that. He's
higher than
800 bucks. He's almost in the nine. He's more expensive than Koepka and DJ. So that might keep his ownership lower. But at the same time, you know how it goes when people see A, that he won, and B, that 28 numbers everywhere right now, saying he's gone under par that much. I can't wait to see what his ownership is. And that kind of worries me because I want to keep playing him because he's so locked in right now. Like you said, you were playing him all the time before, and I jumped on a little while towards the end. I had him in two of my three lineups this last weekend. And now it's like, oh, crap, what are we going to do with that? But that's how – this week's going to be really fun because last week we talked about playing the ownership game, and I did that on a couple things. This week's going to be interesting because the guys have missed the cuts, but then the price changes. It's going to be a really fun week to see the ownership game. But any final thoughts on the Charles Schwab at the Colonial?
No, man. It was just good for golf to be back, so feels good. And ready to move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's good to hear that there's a sport that has their shit together. So that's good. That's really, really good. But yeah, we're going to have
to Harvard Town. As you tilt over baseball.
Oh, my God. Every freaking day gets worse. I can't think. It can get worse. It gets worse. It's un-effing believable. But yeah, we're going to Harbor Town for the RBC Heritage. I'm glad golf's my second passion and it's playing. That's all I know. Otherwise, I'd be a mental case. And it's going to be another massive field of 154 or more golfers. But still T65 and ties, so like half the field's going home at least, like we saw last week. So there's going to be a lot of crazy cuts again, and just that's kind of the way it's going to go here for a little while as they're getting everybody back in action. Why don't you give us some past event history on the Heritage?
Yeah, so usually this golf course, this golf tournament is played the week after the Masters tournament. Obviously, that's been in April since 1983, basically, and everybody knows why it wasn't played this year at that time. So they moved it. And so we get it this week. Last year, CT Pan was the 2018. Tadashi Kodaira was the champion. 12 under par in a playoff over Siwoo Kim. 2017, Wesley Bryan was the champion. 13 under par, one shot over Luke Donald. And 2016, Brandon Grace was the champion. 9 under par, two shots over Luke Donald. And Russell Knox. Now, Jim Furyk has won this twice. Kuchar is a past champion. But there's some random-ass winners of this tournament. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. It's random as all get out. Obviously, the last two have been Asians, but Wesley Bryan, I don't know what the fuck he's even doing now. Brandon Grace.
He's playing this week.
Well, I would, too, if I had that price lifetime exemption. Yeah. Brandon Grace, he actually played pretty well last week, but you know, I mean, what has he done since 2016? You know, he was at that U.S. Open with Spieth out in on the West Coast, whenever that one was. Maybe that was the year before. Anyway, so it's just this is weird, random winners here. Very strange.
I'd say it's probably partly to do with a lot of the guys don't play this event after the Masters. That'd be one of my guesses.
Yeah, for sure.
They have a lot to do with it. And then just the course design. A lot of guys just don't want to play these shorter courses these days, unless you're Bryson DeChambeau and you just don't care and you just hit it wherever you want. So that's another thing we didn't even talk about is just meathead Bryson just crushing the ball 30 yards past even Rory and stuff. It was impressive to watch. Buddy, very impressive.
How big is that dude too? I mean, he looked like one of those old timey, like weightlifters, you know what I'm saying? That like has like the old school, like wrestling, like underwear on, and just like out there just pumping iron, you know what I'm saying?
And no neck. Yeah.
No neck. He looks weird, but dude was smashing. Crushing it.
Yeah, he was wedging it in. He was in like 100 yards on almost all the par fours, it felt like. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, Harbortown Golf Links is where this course is, or this tournament is held year in and year out. It's a Pete Dye design. So you're going to hear that all week, and we'll talk about it when we talk Fantasy Sports, because Pete Dye is a massively popular designer of golf courses and a very tricky designer of golf courses. A lot of optical illusions, a lot of you need to set up the proper second shot in type situations. So this is a Pete Dye course, par 71, just under 7,100 yards. Four par threes, 11 par fours, and three par fives. Par fives are pretty gettable. So there could be some scoring to be had there. But the thing on this course, and this is what Pete Dye can do to you, if it's a shorter course, he'll make you pay, is very tight fairways, tree-lined fairways. You don't want to get in trouble. Now, similar to last weekend, there's a lot of correlation between Colonial and Heritage. As we saw with Bryson, he was cutting the corners and just going over the trees. That's an option if you can make it work. If you don't, you're in a world of hurt. So that's why a lot of these golfers that do win here that Jesse was mentioning are not really the big bomber types. They're very accurate with really good approach games and iron play. That'll play very well here, especially it's also on the water. So if it gets windy, something to keep in mind is why Graham McDowell and Brendan Grace and some of those guys do play well here. Very small greens, Bermuda greens. So we're going to see Bermuda yet again, kind of a theme at this point of the year, or at least I guess I can't say that because it's a different year than usual, but usually we see like the Florida swing, the southeast swing. We get a lot of Bermuda action going on there. So small greens, Bermuda greens, yeah, you have to be able to scramble very, very good here because it is tough to hold these greens. So that's something else to keep an eye on, but I'm looking at, you know, accurate off the tee, good approach game. And scrambling, that's going to be some big things here, as there can be some scoring, as Jesse mentioned, but also some big blowups if you screw it up in a big way. But it's a fun course, fun tournament. Pete Dye always makes you work out there. What stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
You know, traditionally, obviously, course history. It's going to play a little bit different. We're in June instead of April. You know, obviously there's differences in the weather. There's differences in the grass and so on and so forth. So, but I mean, course history still matters in my opinion. But on Fantasy Labs, it's more accuracy. Like you've already talked about, greens and regulation, driving accuracy, scrambling, will come into effect here. I went over the scores of the winners. You know, it's usually in the low teens. So bogey or better, if you're looking at either or, birdie or better, bogey or worse, is what I would weight there. So, yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be scoring. Question for you, with a loaded field like this, we have 1 week of data, but we still have, like, I think it's 40 or 50 new guys playing this week. Are you even going to try to play the new guys, or are you just going to roll with what you saw last week and past event history?
I'll just follow what the model says, man. That way I can blame something besides myself come Sunday.
that works too. We're going to look at fanshare.sports.com. We mentioned it is free till the end of June, so go check it out. Lots of good stuff there. Looking at the Pete Dye designs last 10 rounds, obviously some of these guys didn't play all 10 rounds, but some guys that did play all 10 and are leading DraftKings scoring, Dustin Johnson, averaging about 83 points, John Rahm, 79, Ryan Moore, 77, Kuchar, Kisner, and Brooks round out the top five or six there that have played in all 10 recent Pete Dye design courses. When you look at courses that are 70, par 71s around between 7,000 and 7,200 yards, guys that play well there, you got Rory, Sergio plays well there. Matt Kuchar, the last nine tournaments like that, he's averaging almost 92 DK points. And people need to remember, they're going to go, oh, he missed the cut. Yes, he did. That's very, very accurate. But he also doubled the last hole. If he just makes par or even a bogey, he plays the weekend, and then everyone forgets that Matt Kuchar missed. Like it wasn't like he was seven over par. He was just a complete disaster on this last hole. So that's something to keep in mind. Brennan Todd, who had a horrible week last week, he played well on courses like this. Obviously, CT Pan has good numbers, and Kisner. Kisner is going to pop up in a lot of these. He came out strong last week, Kis did, and then kind of just ho-hummed it through the weekend. But I've talked about it many times. On less than driver courses, Kisner can play with the best of them. So that's just something to keep in mind. Always cheap. When we're looking at the last 10 events on Bermuda greens, McIlroy, Webb, Sungjae, Rahm, Scheffler, DJ, JT, Usti, Xander, and Piercy rounded out. So pretty much majority of that was the big boys. There's really no sugarcoat in that. And last but not least, every event at the RBC Heritage from 2015 to 2019, the last five tournaments here, the big scorers that have played more than a couple, like CT Pans played three of them, averaging 84. Obviously, W helps. Kuchar's played in all five. He's averaging 81 points. Something to keep in mind there. Streelman's played in three, averaging 80.5. A couple others. Brendan Grace, four events, averaging 78. Kisner again pops up here. Poulter pops up here. So some guys you can think about, not the biggest bombers, but smart iron players, which I'll continue to say over and over again in this podcast, that'll guys will look at. All right. Any final thoughts? Are you ready to get DraftKings going?
Let's go.
Let's do it. 10K and above, again, loaded field, as we talked about. Rory McIlroy at 11.3, JT at 10.9. Bryson's bumped all the way up to 10.7 after that third-place finish, and he continues to just put great rounds together. John Rahm to 10.5 after his missed cut. Xander at 10.2, and Morikawa up to $10,000. There's going to be some very interesting price changes this week, as we hinted at earlier. But starting this 10K range, what do you like in here, Jesse?
I mean, start up top with Rory for me, 11,300. I was surprised that he was so low owned last week. I think in the Millie, he might have been around 17%, but another contest, it was like closer to 13 or 12%. So, and he didn't have a great showing. He did shoot 68, 63, 69, 74 last week. 74 obviously coming on Sunday, and being the one that stings the most, he was, you know, high price last week. He's been high price for ever. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, but he's never played here. So, he played here once, 2009. He finished 58th. You know, I just don't see him being high owned again. Bryson will be, I do believe. He's got some weird course history. Miscut third, miscut fourth in his four appearances here. So he'll be on track here. Now he's had four straight top fives. If you go back to the Genesis way back in February, and obviously had a chance to win on Sunday, if not for pretty much just one bad hole there coming down the stretch, and he almost made that putt on 18. I don't know if you saw that one or not, but he about rolled one in on 18. Yeah. Xander, another guy who, you know, he said that he missed a bunch of putts inside 10 feet on Sunday. He said that in his post-round, like, little press conference that he did on CBS where they interviewed him. And then lipped out that just nasty lipped out putt on 17, or else he'd have been right there as well. Morikawa, another guy, obviously, could have won, you know, if he just doesn't potentially, you know, anyways, push jack that putt, in the playoff, but, you know, second last week and then, ninth, if you go back to Arnold Palmer, which was his last start before last week. And like you said before, he's never missed a cut on tour. So, you know, of these guys, I don't think I'll play any Bryson. I think he will be pretty popular. You know, so I would lean more if you're going up, a Bryson, JT, Rory, I'd rather have Rory. And then if you're down below those guys, I think stacking Xander and Colin in the same lineup again, just see if they, you know, catch fire again. Obviously, they're playing very well, and that still leaves you about 7,500 per golfer left, which I think there's way too many value plays this week. So I actually like that quite a bit.
I don't hate it at all. When we get to that low 7K range, like you just said, there's so many guys down there. Like you really don't have to dip into the sixes if you don't want to this week. It's pretty good. But yeah, there's 10K and above. It's a really interesting range. I don't hate the Rory call, but I'm going to go, if I'm going all the way up, I'm going JT at 10.9, just consistency wise, which Rory's been consistent too. But something about JT, you know, he still finished 10th last week, but he shy, I believe, one over on Sunday, just didn't have his game. If he has a regular JT round, he might have won it or been in the playoff. You know, what ifs are part of golf, obviously. But JT, he continuously puts it in there and keeps you in it. Rory, obviously, is a beast. I'm not going to knock it, but I'll save $400 and go to JT, especially because I do agree that I want to play Bryson, but he's going to be very popular. And I'm not sure I want to go to a 10-7. Like, if he was 95, I wouldn't care as much about his ownership. But when you're getting a 10-7 chalk bomb, that's going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. So that's my logic there. I go JT. Then I don't hate the Xander or Colin call. I think they're both very solid. I don't mind going back to them, especially Colin, just with his ability to just make cut after cut. And he's not like he's making cuts and finishing, you know, 56th. He's usually finishing pretty darn high for you. So they're both very strong. And Colin, we talk about it once in a while on DK. He's a very good birdie maker, and he dominates par fives. So three par fives this weekend, two, if not all three, you can get to in two. And Colin is very, very good on those. So he might have some eagle chances for you, let alone, you know, tap in birdies, a few two putts. Something to think about as well if you're looking at those two at $10,000 this week. All right, 9K range. Only a couple golfers here. Like, they just said, screw it. We're going to throw a bunch of dudes in the 8K range that are way too good to be in the 8K range. So let's just have a small 9K range. And we'll go Sungjae in at 97, Hideki at 95, Justin Rose with his, you know, Hanma's stock must have just blew up. Like, that was unbelievable. At 92, and then Webb at 9,000 after his missed cut. What are you looking at in this range?
I mean, Sungjae, you know, 9,700. He's just Mr. Consistency. I mean, him and Colin are very consistent golfers, you know, not only in my Nat stack as well. He finished 10th last week. He shot all three rounds, you know, below par, which par 70, they're all in the 60s. So four straight rounds in the 60s last week for Sungjae. And his ownership also surprised me last week. I fully expected him to be 20, 25% owned, and he was closer to, you know, 15% owned, which surprised me quite a bit. So Sungjae there. I mean, I don't know where Hideki's game's at. Obviously, he's kind of like last week. His only start here was a missed cut. Not a huge fan, but I think he's playable. Rose, definitely playable. You know, his only start here in 2008, he withdrew. Obviously, had a very good week last week and figured some shit out. I mean, he hit a bunch of greens. He was hitting almost 70% of the fairways last week. And the putter was working as well. Webb now, I'm not a Webb guy, so I'm not going to say that that I'm going to play him. I can see why people would. His course history is very good. He hasn't missed a cut here at least since 2012. I don't know about before that. Coming off the missed cut last week, obviously made a shit ton of cuts in a row before that, and was super chalk. So I don't, you know, I really feel like people, if you listen to the, you know, the industry, you know, if you, people are going to say Webb's name quite a bit. So he's not going to be under the radar. He's not going to be kind of the bounce back candidate I look for after a missed cut. So I would rather have Rose or Sungjae myself in this range than Webb. But, you know, I can see why people would play him for sure.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. Sungjae, if I'm not going up top, I'm starting a lot of lineups with Sungjae. Like, because he's going to make the cut like 99% of the time, and B, he's up. He's just like Colin, but he's $300 cheaper is the way I look at it. And sure, Colin has the same amount of wins, but maybe Colin's had that extra. He should have two now, but very, very similar players. And you're saving $300. M's an outstanding iron and approach player. So I like a Morikawa M stack, like you said, is outstanding. I love them both. I do love some Rosie, but I'm wondering if he's going to get a bump in ownership this week after that performance last week, because we said he'd be low owned. He was low owned, and he shocked, or didn't shock, but he played outstanding golf last week. So I like Rosie, but I don't know if I want to play a chalky Rosie. I'd rather go up to I'd rather play a chalky M than Rose, if that makes sense to the listeners out there. And then Webb, I do like a lot, but I do agree. Like, I want to play Webb. I want to play the bounce back Webb, but it's like you said, is everyone's going to talk about that. And then you're not getting bounce back Webb. You are, but you aren't, because he's not cheap. The whole point of the bounce back is you get the cheap guy, like low owned play. And that's not going to happen anymore. So maybe Wednesday night we look at fan share and we're talking in the Slack chat and you see like, oh, Webb's only like 12%. Okay. Maybe I'll jump back on some Webb, because 9,000 is too cheap for him. If you look at his Thursday stats, he was just spraying it everywhere. It's like the worst golf. He looked like he was playing. Like I was playing for him on a Thursday, but then on Friday he played much more like the Webb we know. And if he just did that back to back days, it'd be no problem. So I think $9,000 is a very, very good price for Webb here at course like this. A guy who doesn't usually like to hit the driver, can hit three woods and all that. I got no problem going to Webb, but if I have the one guy here, give me Sungjae. $8,000 range. Daniel Berger, $8,900. Patty Reed, 88. Spieth, 87. Brooks is down to 86. DJ is down to 85. You had a cool stat on that on Twitter today. Gary Woodland, 84. Cooch, 83. Finau, 82. Fowler, 81. And Answer, 8,000. Tyrell Hatton, 8,000. Literally, you can make a lineup right here if you felt like it. Like, it's totally fine. All these guys are very, very good. So, where are you planting your flag?
This is why the 9K range is so, I guess, barren. because of, you know, they kind of just stacked in some really good golfers here. Berger, obviously, at 8,900. I think it's fine to go back to him. I mean, you know, he's played this golf course twice, or he's played this golf tournament twice, 33rd in last year, 72nd back in 2015. He has four straight top tens on tour. And obviously the win, and he was improving every, you know, I mean, I don't expect him to go back to back here, but would it surprise me? No. And then also too, I mean, the other thing about Berger is you're probably going to get him at around the same ownership. I mean, most people don't like to play a guy off a win. I think this is a little bit of a different circumstance. I think normal circumstances, he wouldn't even be playing this week. If he won, he would have withdrew. But of course, normal circumstances, this wouldn't be the golf tournament we'd be talking about. It'd be a different golf tournament. But long story short, he's going to play because he needs the points for obvious reasons. There's only a limited time to play this year. DJ 8,500. So, you know, on Twitter, I looked this up last week because I was interested to see what, you know, kind of what DJ's pricing has been traditionally. And, you know, last week he was 9,500, and I was just kind of wondering when the last time he was below 10K was, and that was the Tour Championship all the way back in 2015. Let me get it pulled up here. So way back in 2015, September 2015, Tour Championship, he was $9,100. He finished fifth in that event. Doesn't really matter. But and then he's never been below 9,000, just as far back as I can tell. Which I'm going back to February of 2015, which I think is around when golf started on DraftKings. So, you know, do I want to play him? I don't know. I mean, his golf game just didn't look that great last week. He's got two made cuts in a row here, 28th and 16th in the last 2 years. I guess if you want to play him, I think he's fine. I mean, you get a huge discount on him. I'd rather play like Kuchar off the miscut. We already talked about this quite a bit. Double bogey the last, I mean, just the absolute epic fucking truck slam that he pulled out there. Second place here last year. He's got several other top tens. He's even a past champion, 2014. And then last but not least for me, Tyrell Hatton. You know, at this tournament, he missed the cut in 2018 and finished 29th in 2017. He was playing well before the break. He won the Arnold Palmer, which was his last start. I think most people will kind of overlook him, especially with Ricky right there, Tony Finau, you know, in the neighborhood, and then DJ and Brooks, obviously, with Spieth right there. You know, there's just so much conceived value in this area. I'd rather get a little bit different, and I think Hatton's the guy to go to there.
Hatton's a great GPP play. I definitely agree with that one. That's a very, very good one. Berger, I don't mind going back to because you get him super low owned, even though he just won, which is a rarity in this game. But, like, people will go to Webb at 9,000 before they go to Berger at 89. So, low-owned Berger, who's playing great golf, no problem with that at all. I love Patty Reed. Just keep giving me low-owned Pat Reed at 88. I will continue to play low-owned Pat Reed. Seventh place last week. Mixed reviews at this tournament, but I have no problem putting Pat Reed out here at 8,800 bucks. I'll jump right back on that. I'll jump back on Brooks, too, at 86. He finished 32nd last week, but he's kind of ho-hum through the weekend. He was hitting a lot of great Brooks golf shots. He just wasn't putting the entire game together yet. But he looks so much more like the Brooks of old than the Brooks we saw before COVID hit, if that makes sense to anybody out there. Like, he was really grinding and injured and trying to figure it out earlier this year. He looked a lot more like the guy that we know can just turn it on and dominate. And to get a guy at 8,600 bucks who's won all the majors he's won and compete with any type of field, I think that's a steal. Will he win this week? Who knows? But he's got that talent level. He can flick a light switch on. And for 8,600 bucks, that's crazy. So I don't mind him at all. I will not own DJ. I just won't do it. I can't. I just don't trust what he's doing right now. It's ugly. It's ugly. But I do love Gary Woodland at 84. I think that is way too cheap. For a less than driver course, give me all the Gary Woodland at 8,400 bucks. I'll go back to Kuchar as well as 83. And then Answer at 8,000, I think it's another good GPP. But I think Answer and Hatton are both really solid at 8K. Answer played really well last week, finished 14th. He missed the cut here last year in his only time playing this course. But Abe, I think, is a really solid low-owned play at 8,000 as well. So as people can tell, I love this 8K range. And I like that it's so loaded, but like you can play the ownership. Reed will be low-owned. I don't think Brooks will be that high because he just hasn't been because people haven't bought in. Woodland will be interesting. Kuch will be interesting just because he's Kuchar, but the miscut we'll see. But like Answer and Hatton will be low owned. So you could do a lot of stuff here and field a very strong team with tons of upside and an ownership advantage at 8,000. So I like it quite a bit. All right, 7K range, Jesse, 7,500 and above. Who are you targeting?
Just start up top with Kokrak at 7,900. He actually did you see where DraftKings added in like $25,000 a round for the lowest score or whatever?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. They can't, you know, the millionaire, the winner gets a mil and the second place gets 150. But hey, let's throw some money at the guy who gets the highest rounder. Yeah, good stuff.
It's even worse this week. I mean, it's not even worth playing when it's the structured. But anyways, so Kokrak, that's sweet. He made me $25 because he had the lowest round on Sunday, which was pretty cool.
There you go.
Like less than 1% owned. Paid for the, like, several of the, most of which out of six lineup, which was a nice surprise. Anyways, Kokrak, I think, is playable. Finished 16th here last year. Miscut the 2 years prior to that, but then 6th, 18th, and 12th in the years before that. So, you know, at one point I was all over Kokrak. He didn't have a very good start to the season, but obviously he's been, or maybe apparently he's been working on his game. I don't think you'll get him at 1% owned this week, but you know, maybe you will. Brandon Grace, I mean, why not play this guy? Coming off a pretty solid showing last week. He did shoot 73 on Sunday, kind of fell back a little bit, finished 19th, but he's not missed the cut in his four attempts at this golf course, 61st, 11th, the win back in 2016, and 7th in 2015. So, again, I don't think that's something that will go under the radar on him, but Kevin Kisner, 7,700, not missed a cutter since 2011. He's pretty much played it just about every year. He didn't play it in 13 or 12 and 13, but a couple top tens. And they had a pretty good showing again last week too. I mean, all four rounds under par, shot, finished 29th, hit a bunch of greens, just, if you can get the putter working. They're at 7,600. 10th place here last year, 7th the year before that. At this golf tournament, coming off a 29th place finish last week as well. He was kind of mixed on his rounds, 66-70, 67-70. You know, if he just kind of hits some more fairways, I think he plays better. So hopefully maybe he'll figure that out this week. And then the two down at 7,500, Poston and Dahlman. Poston finished 6th here last year, 10th place finish last week, and Dahlman finished 16th here last year and 19th last week. Now, Dahlman had two top fives in a row pre-pandemic, so the dude's been playing very well too, and $7,500. Now, these are the guys that I'm talking about. If you stack Xander and Morikawa, or Morikawa and Sungjae, or Sungjae and Xander, that you can fit in down here.
Yeah, and still a very, very strong team. We're pretty much on the same crew here. Grace, I don't mind. We'll see what his ownership is. I like Fitzpatrick. Always kind of comes in under-owned, but 39th here last year.
He loves this place too.
Yep, loves these kind of courses. I said it last week, it didn't really work all the way around with some of these Euro guys, but they were Euro guys that hadn't played that course. When it's less than driver type stuff where you have to hit accurate shots in your approach game, it favors Euro Tour players more often than not. Like, it's their type of golf. So that's why I think Fitzpatrick, he loves it. You know, if it gets a little windy, it's no big deal. Loves the setup here. I think it's $7,900, another kind of low. Like Fitzpatrick, Hatton, and Answer should all come in very low owned, between $7,900 and $8,000. Like, if you need a little tweak, if you play a couple chalk bombs somewhere, you can play some guys like that, and you're going to be sitting a lot prettier than you think. I love Kiz. I talk about him all the time on the show. Like, good play this week. I like Kiz at 77. Poulter is another guy. If I could have an even Poulter jersey, I would, but they don't make those in golf. I just love Ian Poulter. And, you know, 10th year last year, 7th, 11th, 54th, and 18th the last 5 years. So 18th or better in four of his last 5 years. Finished 29th last week. You mentioned the stats there, the rounds. And he was on Thursday, I think he got to like 600. He was rolling it. So like me some Poults quite a bit. And then Dahlman and Poston, I'm with you there as well. We were on them last week. I'm telling you guys, jump in the Slack or go join FanShare for free right now. I looked up stuff later on Wednesday night, and I thought Dahlman would be chalky because he played well going into the break. He was lighting up the Outlaw Tour. He was having fun there, and he came in around 5% owned, and that's what it said on FanShare. He's pretty close to that. come Thursday. So I was like, you know what? Okay, he's coming in. I put like this whole thing together. My best lineup had all these guys that I think one guy was over 10% owned. Brooks was 5%, stuff like that. And Dahman just, he crushed it. He kind of fell back a little on Sunday. It felt like either Saturday or Sunday, but he was playing great golf. So I like this whole range right here. You can really have some fun and build some balanced lineups in this like high sevens and 8K range and feel very comfortable, or throw in some of those 9K guys like you're talking about. You can definitely have some good options here. What do you got, 7,000 to 7,400?
Start with Bubba up top. You know, last week you actually asked me about him, and I said, no way, you know, because he only plays at places, you know, he plays well at places he likes, and apparently he likes Colonial. So maybe he likes Harbortown. I don't know. 7,400 worth a shot. Corey Connors, he's missed every cut he's ever had at this golf course or golf tournament. Last year he missed the cut, 2018 missed the cut, 15 missed the cut. Coming off a 19th place finish last week, hit a shit almost 80% of the greens. Just the putter is usually the issue. If he can scramble a little bit better, I don't mind him. HV3, I don't think he'll be not popular. Not a huge fan, but I think he's okay. The two guys that like I would target for the bounce back, you know, low owned plays after missed cuts, Palmer. Absolutely, just him and English both just absolutely took me out for one. Obviously, Palmer missed the cut here last week, but he hasn't missed a cut at this golf tournament since 2009. 28th last year. He's got an 11th place finish back in 2017. So, you know, I look for him and Harris English both to bounce back this week. English is a Georgia boy. 25th here last year, 32nd the year before that, and obviously the missed cut. So those are the guys that I would look at for like the low on bounce back plays. Jim Furyk, man, I didn't trust the model last week. He made the cut. I mean, he shot 74 on Sunday to fall back, but he finished 49th, made the cut. He's a past winner here. I think he shot 59 here once or 58 maybe.
Sounds about right.
So, and then Lucas Glover at 7,100 as well. He missed the cut here last year, but 32nd, 32nd, 33rd, and 18th in his four appearances before that. And he's coming off a made cut at Colonial where he finished 23rd. So a couple guys there at 7,100, and that's it for me.
Yeah, there's a lot we can go through here. RCB, 16th here last year, 23rd last week at the Colonial. I'd go back to him, another good iron player at approach game. If he's rolling the rock any close to good, he's going to be very productive for you. So RCB at 74, I like. Bubba, yeah, 7th last week at Colonial. He hadn't played Colonial, I think, since like 2010 or something. He's never played Heritage. But, you know, Pete Dye type courses where you have to think and change your shot shape and everything, that fits his wheelhouse. I'm not saying run to play Bubba because he's probably a little more popular this week after last week's. But it's one of those, if I go on and see he's going to be like 4% owned, it's hard to not have a piece of Bubba Watson who can contend with the best of them when he's playing well. So it's an interesting one at 74. I'm with you on Harris English. I'll jump right back on that at 73. He missed it by one shot after a nice run on Friday. I got no problem going back to him. A guy like Adam Hadwin will play very well at courses like this. He finished made three straight cuts here, 48th, 22nd, 30th, finished 43rd last week. Had one at 73 is interesting. For anyone at home, Kevin Na withdrew on Monday, so keep that in mind if you are checking all that fun stuff out. A couple other guys, Bud Cauley, I like quite a bit. 39th, 23rd, and 9th the last 3 years here, 29th last week. Another good approach game player. I can go with some Bud Cauley. Then a couple quickies. Luke List coming off the big win on the Korn Ferry Tour, if you're feeling dicey, but that's a very dicey situation to be in, so keep that in mind. But Rory Sabatini, 10th here last year, 23rd the year before, finished 14th last weekend. So he can sneak in a little one with his yellow golf ball. Sabs at 72. Matt McNeely, rough start, but finished strong with a 32nd place finish. He's $7,100. I'd have no problem going back to Mav as a cheapie for a cut maker. And then last but not least, the Gooch at 7,000. A lot of guys were asking about him last week. He's never played Heritage, but he finished 43rd at the Colonial last week. He's like second behind Morikawa on consecutive cuts made. I think he's around like 13, 14, 15, something along those lines. So he's been playing extremely well also. So the Gooch at 7,000 is another guy I could definitely get behind. All right, 6K range, Jesse. Who are you punting with this week?
Start with Harry Higgs at $6,900. Pissed off I didn't play him last week. He had a really good round on Friday. Shot 65, 5 under to make the cut, and then, you know, 71, 69 coming home there. Yeah, he's putting really well. If he just gets a little bit more accurate, I think he can be even better this week. Chez at $6,800. Finished 28th here last year, missed the cut in 17, 33rd in 2016. I mean, he's just kind of off and on, but, you know, at $6,800, I'm worth it. I think he's worth a shot. Brian Stewart at $6,600, 16th here last year, 62nd the year before that. Two other made cuts in a row, so five made cuts in a row at this golf tournament. 43rd last week. He had a bad Saturday round, but otherwise, bounced back really well at the 64 on Sunday. That might have been the low round that, instead of Kokrak, that got me the money. Anyways, I played a little bit of Brian Stewart last week. Don't ask me why. Matthew Neesmith, another guy at $6,600. He's, you know, coming off a made cut last week and has not played here ever, but don't mind him a bit. Jason Duffner, I played him last week. He made the cut and then just fucking shit the bed on Sunday. 78 coming home. I don't know what he might have been hungover. Who knows with Jason.
That's what I would guess. I would guess with Duff.
At $6,500, I mean, you're going to decrease his price at a place where he's made pretty much every cut except for 2018 since 2012. You know, I mean, not like great finishes, but he did finish 11th here in 2017. He finished 63rd last year. So at $6,500, most definitely worth a shot to me. And that's about all I got down here.
Yeah, I love the Higgs call. I'm a big fan of that. Sam Burns is interesting at 66. I don't mind him. He finished 9th here last year. I love Neesmith. We talk about him pretty much every week. So he can cut maker with some upside. Brian Stewart as well. Stewart is interesting on Sunday. Same with Chesson Hadley on Saturday. They went out by themselves out the gate, and they both shot like outstanding rounds on Saturday and Sunday. Whichever one's by themselves, they just lit the place on fire. So that was interesting there. Mark Hubbard at 64, talked about him last week as a super cheapie. He came in and finished 43rd last week. He finished 74th here 3 years ago. He's another cheap guy I don't hate if you need to save some cash. And if you're looking for the massive punts this week, Stu Sink at 61, missed the cut here last year, 42nd, missed cut, then 31st. He's all over the board here, but a guy that we know can't really get as long as he used to, but on courses like this, I don't mind him at 61 as a punt if you're just looking to get rid of it. And the other guy I would look at that we used all the time, but he struggled this year, but he's made all three cuts here, 63rd and 55th the last 2 years. At $6,000, Ryan Armour, if you need to go some more cheap.
It's funny you say him, because I actually looked at his name, and then, God darn, all the missed cuts in a row.
Oh, it was rough. It was a rough, like, okay, I'm not going to make the joke, but I was like, if anyone needed a break, it was probably Ryan Armour.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, six missed cuts in a row. But, you know, he played well in the fall. So if you go back to the fall, he's got a bunch of top 25s. But, yeah. I actually clicked his name earlier because I saw it was $6,000. Very good course history. I agree. If you got $6,000 left, that would be the guy I would play as well.
Yeah, if you're looking for like the massive punt, if you're going really top heavy, I don't hate it at $6,000. So
yeah,
something to think about. Let's recap them real quick here. $10,000 above, who's your one guy?
I'm gonna say Morikawa.
All right, I'm gonna say JT. 9K range. Give me one. So there's only like four total.
So since I didn't say Rory, he's probably gonna win. one in the 9K is Sungjae.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's Sungjae. Yeah, no surprise. I'm going to mention him a few more times on this podcast. 8K range. There's a lot of guys. You want to go two or three?
Just two. I think two.
Okay. Who you got? Two.
I'll say Kuchar for cash and then Hatton for GPP.
Yeah, Kuchar's a great cash play. This is tough for me. I'm going to go Brooks and Woodland, but I love Reed too. I like that threesome. 7,500 to 7,900. Give me two.
Poulter and Kisner.
Yep, Poulter and Kis for me. If you need someone besides those two, Dahman and Poston. 7,000 to 7,400, give me two.
Palmer and English, man. Fuck it.
All right. For me, I'm going to go with RCB and Bud Cauley. Those would be my two. 6K range. Who's your favorite punt?
Higgs.
You like Higgs? I'm going to go with I'll go with Neesmith at 66, but I like Higgs a lot. Higgs shouldn't be 69. He should be with some of the other guys a little higher. That's for sure. If you're building a GPP lineup, who are three guys you're building around?
There's Xander and Colin. Stack those two, and then it leaves you right at 7,500. So then you come down and go Poston or Dahman, like you already talked about, or you can take them both. You still got 7,400 left.
I like it. For me, I would start out with Reed, Brooks, and Woodland and go from there. I think that's a fun one. Cash lineups. Give me three guys to start your cash lineups with.
Kuchar, definitely cash or borderline cash just because of how well he's been playing. Sung JM as well. I'm going to give one more just because I've given a shit ton there. Ian Poulter.
if you only saw what I wrote down, I have Sung J, Kuchar, and Poulter for my cash start. That's my three-man cash start right there.
Three guaranteed miscuts now.
We are on a lot of the same players this week. And it's like no, we have summon a lot. Yeah.
No, if Bubba's on them, then you can really feel good about it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes, but I like those for cash. Picks to win. Who are you liking to win this thing?
It's a great question. Up top, I think Sungjae has good odds. I think I saw like 25 or something on him earlier.
I'm seeing 30 where I'm looking at here, and I like 30, Sungjae quite a bit. Even better. Well.
Yeah. And if you're, kind of further down the list, somebody like Kisner, he's got to have pretty good odds this week.
I got him at 60. Yeah, 60.
That's not terrible.
I was looking at him. Answers at 60. Woodland's at 40. I guess a week where you can spread it out if you want and have some fun. Or there's some interesting guys. Like if you like the low 7K range on DraftKings, play some of them in the top 20, and you can still get some good odds. So you can have fun with that as well. So lots of ways to go about it per usual this week. Final thoughts, Jesse, as we wrap up the RBC Heritage Preview.
I don't really. I think this will be a fun week. This is a fun golf course to actually watch golf on. So it'll be a little different, obviously, too, without the fans again. But pay attention to the weather. The draws could be, could make a difference. Like you talked about earlier, it's right on the water there. So keep that in mind.
How many times do you think we see the lighthouse on TV?
A billion.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to showcase that a lot.
I tell you one thing that did not change over the break was the amount of fucking commercials that CBS shows.
I've heard that so much from a lot of people because it's so true. So true.
Dude, I got home at when the guys, everybody was on the back nine. I played golf on Sunday, got home, ready to watch golf, and it was just like commercial, 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 commercial. Three golf shots, commercial, 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 commercial. It's the worst. It was fun, though.
Why can't they at least do like picture in picture like NASCAR and them do? Like at least let us watch the golf. If you want to show your commercial, fine, let's watch the golf.
I tell you what, really like I think spoils me is watching it on Thursday and Friday all day on PGA Tour Live, and they literally show every shot of the two threesomes, and they do have commercials, but it's not nearly as many, which is crazy. When there's more guys on the golf course, more cameras out there, more commercials. So,
and we're gonna have to see what happens. Also, I think ESPN Plus signed a deal to like do an exclusive hole. They'll show every shot from a certain hole.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
so that'll be interesting as well to see how they pinpoint all that. But
one last thing, I gotta apologize to Bubba for my technical difficulties tonight. So if the pod is a little weird, that's on me. That's not on him. That's 100% on me.
It's all good. It's all good. Technology's a beautiful thing.
I know you're not mad at me, but it pisses me off.
It's 2020, and everything that can go wrong will go wrong. So that is how we are doing this. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great week. Heritage is a cool, cool golf tournament. I prefer the shorter courses. Maybe it's because I'm not a bomber myself. I like the kind of strategic aspect of golf, and this kind of makes you play strategically. But we'll see. Should be fun, and at worst, we have live sports. So check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am Matt B. DeAndre, the podcast at Always Press DFS. If you have any questions, we'll be in the Slack chat all week, or hit us up on Twitter. Otherwise, catch you guys later.